Heavenly Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father, that we could sing praises to your name. And we could worship you, Lord, with our heart, our whole heart. Now I ask, Lord, that you would equip me by the power of your Holy Spirit. As you have spoken, Lord, anoint my lips to speak that which you have laid on my heart, Lord, for this church body. To those who are listening, those who are listening online, and those who listen in the future, that your word would penetrate through the callous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." I titled this Gratitude with a Hallelujah. And I showed my wife that I spelt Hallelujah as in H-A-L-L-E-L-U, capital Y, capital A, capital H. For that is his name, Yah, Yahweh. This life and this world in which we're living certainly has no shortage of problems. And anyone paying attention can see that sin is certainly running rampant and the love of many is waxing cold. And the world has become a very strange and crazy and dark place in many ways. And those keeping an eye on things seem to be in agreement that we're quickly approaching the end of the age of grace. And as we do, we can expect more of the same from the world and its system. As we await the arrival of our Lord, our Savior, our returning King, Jesus Christ. But we know Scripture says that in the last days, some will abandon the faith. Scoffers will mock those who talk about the Lord's return, who warn of the Lord's return, as if it's always been. And I would say that you've heard this before, it is converging. The things are converging. We're seeing more earthquake activity. We are seeing volcanic eruptions. This past week, there's just talk of all of that. Abnormal weather patterns. We've seen drought. We've seen famine. Threats of pestilence. Just the fact that leprosy is even back. What was during Jesus' time. And leprosy came back in our country, a first world country, not a third world country. Came back this summer. There was cases of it. There was cases in Florida. There was cases in California. Small cases, but the fact that it's even back. Round-the-clock surveillance, folks. Have you just noticed if you come down Fairview Avenue here on Maple, there's cameras everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's cameras. One cannot look far. You see how that works. It's very Orwellian, this track of every individual. We see that in China today. At the airport, when I flew back, I was surprised to see as I went through TSA, there was a facial recognition system there. So now you not only hand your driver's license to the TSA agent, you can put your license in the machine and there's a tablet right there and it takes a picture of you and you move around on it and it's getting all the different angles. And it says you can opt out, which my family opted out, you know, but you can opt out for now is really what I see that coming to. We see loss of freedoms. We've seen definitely a push against to crush civil liberties and personal liberties. We saw that even back in 2020. We've seen an increase in violence, breakdown of law and order, a corruption of the justice system, a corruption of all justice, ethnic uprisings, the emergence of AI. Rumors of wars, right? And wars. It's all coming. It's converging, right? It's converging. And yet there is still time to call for repentance. Yes. Paul wrote about the end times and he said, perilous times will come. Truth is, the times will become more difficult on this earth, folks. Scripture teaches that living in the last days before the return of Christ, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. That Acts 2, that power is going to become more prevalent as that day is approaching within the church, the remnant church. The Lord is doing a work on the remnant. Verse 7 later on that says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In verse 8, it actually says they resist the truth. They're opposed to the truth. They reject biblical truth and they seek to be deceived. They seek to buy the lie. Isaiah 5:20 says that evil will be considered good and good will be considered evil. And people will become more increasingly insensitive to sin. Consciences will be seared and hearts hardened to one another. That means in the last day, evil will explode. In addition to evil exploding, we see a lot of those characteristics that I just shared with you prevalent in society today, do we not? But one came to mind specifically this week. Can you think of what it is? Unthankful. Unthankful. I can see how a lover of self and not of God could be unthankful. Why? Because they're blinded by pride. They're blinded by pride. You see, in our imperfect nature, it's easy to give thanks when everything is sailing and we're on the mountaintop. Everything's going smooth, right? But it takes so much more effort when things don't go as we planned, right? He's got a plan, but when it doesn't go our way, there's a lot more grumbling going on. Listen, however we find our world, however we find our circumstances, we are called as Christians to continually trust in Him and to be ever thankful. Yes. We are to have a heart of gratitude, as we sang. So question is, are we thankful? Are we thankful? Do we give thanks when it is due? Are we thankful in all circumstances? More importantly, do we offer up thanksgiving to the Lord? How often are we thankful? Because the living word, it's alive, the living word has countless reasons for being thankful, for having gratitude. Gratitude is the quality of being thankful, a readiness to show appreciation. When you're singing and your hands are raised high in surrender, that heart of appreciation of what He has done, that is coming through. So a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Return kindness. You've been afforded kindness from the Lord. Our job is to return it to others. No, this is not a coffee latte. This is tea for my throat. So, let's talk about gratitude. First off, are we thankful for our salvation? That's most important. Do you have gratitude for our salvation? Colossians 2, 6 through 7, as I'm going to give you scripture to support everything I'm sharing here. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Romans 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, here's the tough one. We also glory in tribulations. That's what John was talking about, pruning. Right? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, godly character, and character, hope, that living hope we have, the reason that we can give to one another. Now, hope does not disappoint. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Because our hope is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the eternal one. It doesn't disappoint. It's not the worldly, I hope so. Do you remember that? I hope so. It's I know so. It's I know so. Because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Remember? Do you guys remember before you were saved? Got to remember that. Because there's a lost and dying world out there. It's very quick to judge it. It's very quick to judge it. But you were once lost too. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're not appointed to God's wrath. We are not appointed to God's wrath. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice. Yes. Rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We've been reconciled with God. We are now sons and daughters of the Most High. Amen? Amen. You're part of the family. You need to exhibit gratitude for that, because gratitude glorifies God. Yes. That alone should be a reason to give thanks to God, but our gratitude glorifies God as we don't exalt the gifts that have been given, but we exalt the giver. Yes. The giver of the gifts. Yes. The giver of grace. Yes. Gratitude helps us realize that all we have comes not because of us. You deserved nothing. You deserve the penalty of death. Yes. But so rich in his love, he gave his son for us. It's all from God. 2 Corinthians 4:15 to support that. For all things are for your sakes. That grace, right? What is grace? God's empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own. So much more than unmerited favor. So much more. Having spread through the many may cause, here it is, thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Amen. Abound. And being thankful, having gratitude, guess what? You're supposed to let your light shine. It's a testimony. It's a testimony. When we thank God openly and acknowledge what he's done for us, what he's doing for us, what he's going to do for us in the future, we proclaim a personal, caring God to a lost and dying world around us. We show that contentment and peace come from not what we have, but it is who we have. Who we know. We know the great I am personally. The maker, the creator of heavens and earth, folks. Psalm 105:1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. You have a testimony to share. Don't put it under a bushel, because gratitude can help you see God. It can help you see God. Giving thanks to God opens up our carnal eyes to spiritual eyes, with spiritual eyes to see. The more we thank him, the more we see him working in us and around us. It helps us sense God's presence, his care, and guess what? His perfect timing. His perfect timing, not ours. James 1:16 through 7 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So it opens our eyes, and gratitude draws us to God. You okay? Yeah? Luke 17, gratitude draws us to God. It draws us to God. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, that as he entered a certain village, this is Jesus, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were not the 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Gratitude for the depth of God's kindness draws us to him. He healed all 10 lepers. They all cried out for healing. They all cried out for healing. Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests as they commanded, and they went. They went. They were all, I'm sure, happy that they were cleansed, but only one was thankful. Only one was thankful. I'm sure the other 9 at the moment couldn't wait to go and be pronounced clean by the priest so they could get back into society, get back into the routine of things. You know, they were outcasts. Now they can get into the flow, go back into their parties and their family and all the other things that this world has. Getting reintegrated into society. And they thoughtlessly just carried out their actions without a heart of gratitude. Yet the one, the Samaritan, the outcast to the Jews, was thankful to a Jew who healed them. We are all outcasts to God. And Jesus came and healed us.
Yes, right.
Gratitude draws us to God. And it puts us squarely in God's will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus showed us how to even pray it. His will is not some big mystical plan. It simply comes to obedience. It comes to obedience. Are you obeying him? And our part of his will is for us to be thankful to him, not just on the good days, but in the bad days too.
Yes.
In this world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It doesn't take the pain away in the moment. It doesn't. But the cheer is what's to come. He's overcome the world. And so we are overcomers. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is the will? Giving thanks in everything. And rejoicing. Rejoice. Because it brings us peace too. Gratitude brings us peace. It helps us see that God's hand is all over the circumstances. He's all over it. And when we give him thanks, guess what happens? You get supernatural peace. The one that doesn't, the world can't comprehend it, right? You know this scripture. It's used a lot in this pulpit. Philippians 4, 16-17. Be anxious for nothing. A lot of anxiety today. I dealt with it myself. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. So with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Yes, Lord, I have requests, but you are the creator of all things. I give glory to you, Lord, and to you alone. With thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind. That's where the enemy wants to get into.
Yes.
The mind. Through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And guarding your heart and mind leads to another point, which is really gratitude brings contentment and it guards you against envy. I dealt with a little bit of that when I was down in Florida. I was looking at, you know, what everyone else had, what I didn't have. And I dealt with a little enviness. if that's even a word. That's that Florida education, if that is a word or not. But envy makes us want what someone else has.
Yes.
I mean, after all, we deserve it. That's the lie from Satan. Yes. Isn't that go all the way back to the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
You can know as God. Surely you won't die. But gratitude makes us realize that God has given us far more than we deserve.
Yes.
There's enough for everyone. Mm-hmm. If everyone would just bend their knee. Oh, yeah. The things of this world don't hold a candle to what's coming, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't hold a candle.
That's right. Wow.
So we can cheer rather than compare, right? A whole heart. A heart that is truly grateful has no room left for envy, right? Psalm 138:1 says, I will praise you with my whole heart.
Yes.
Not part of it, whole heart.
Yes.
Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Gratitude makes what we have enough. If we aren't grateful for what God has given us, getting more doesn't satisfy. And you hear that all the time, don't you? How much is enough? Being thankful is the key to contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6 through 8. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. You could have all the riches of this world. Jesus knew it. He knew it when Satan tempted him. All the kingdoms. You can have it all if you bow down and worship me. And he's like, no, not interested. What do you need here? It says, and having food and clothing, with these you shall be content. Food in your belly, clothes on your back. It doesn't even say a roof over your head. Foxes have holes. Right? Yeah. So gratitude leads to joy. Joy. That fruit of the Spirit, realizing God's abundant goodness, even in the hard times, is a gateway to joy. Psalm 126 is a psalm of ascent. And it shows as the Hebrew exiles saying their thanks to God for bringing them back to Israel. Psalm 126, 1 through 3. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad.
Yeah.
That's that testimony again coming out. That's the testimony because there's joy for the moment. Gratitude helps us live in the present. It opens our eyes to even the ordinary days. Yeah, there's those days when you're like on top, right? You're on top of the mountain. It's awesome. But even in the ordinary days, you can understand that God is in that day. What do we sing? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, right?
Yes.
This is the day. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, don't say, why were the former days better than these? It's not about yesterday. This is the day because we need what? Now faith. Today's faith. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Now faith. And gratitude deepens that faith. You need this. This keeps a record of God's past faithfulness, not only to the Israelites and his great deeds, but then we have, even in our own life, all the great deeds he has given us. And even in the worst of circumstances, when you recall on the greatness of God, the goodness of God, you know that he has been faithful.
Yes.
He is faithful.
Yes.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Look at his wondrous works. Listen, that was just my intro. So, we can look back over our life and look at the goodness and the faithfulness of God. But also, one third of this book is what? Prophecy. It's prophecy. And we can look at what is coming. We can see how this world is in decay, yet we can be thankful and we can rejoice. We can rejoice. We can rejoice because he's going to make it all right again. The book of Revelation provides the clearest biblical portrait of events that are to come. Kind of seeing them unfold right now, aren't we? The setup, oh man. And it deals with a terrible time. Chapters 4 through 18, the tribulation, the great tribulation, a time of judgment, a time when those on the earth will suffer deeply for their non-belief in Christ. John pictured the judgment as a series of 21 events inaugurated by the breaking of seven seals, then seven trumpet judgments, and the pouring out of seven bowls of wrath. The grand judgment on the sinfulness of humanity shows the seriousness of what, how God views sin. Mm-hmm. That's right, sin. Yeah. It separates us from God. Yeah. A lot of pulpits don't want to talk about it. It's like the boogeyman, and it certainly is. Mm-hmm. Payment will be exacted from those who are not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's a free gift. It's a free gift. In chapter 17 and 18, there are parenthetical chapters that expound upon the harlot system of Babylon, this false one-world religion that we see coming together, this beast system and its destruction, which was described in chapter 16 with the bowl judgments, particularly the seventh bowl. Chapter 19 gives us the heavenly perspective. The heavenly perspective. Chapter 18 goes into full mode description of how the earth dwellers respond and they lament over the destruction of Babylon. The merchants are wailing. There's no more commerce. But the pivot in chapter 19 goes from weeping and mourning and darkness and disaster to a joyous worship and a triumphant proclamation. Yeah, yeah. Gratitude with a hallelujah. Yeah, chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice and a great multitude in heaven. If you're a believer, you're going to be there. Yeah. Saying, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Listen, after the destruction of all this garbage that we're seeing set up right now, and it chaps my behind when I see what's going on in this world, it angers me. It angers me, but I know God is going to make it right. In 18 verse 20, there's this call like given to rejoice. Rejoice over, O heaven, and you, O holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Mm-hmm. This is heaven's response to that call. The call for heaven is to rejoice, and there's some rejoicing going on. Mm-hmm. That word, that alleluia, a Greek word for the Hebrew word alleluia, comes from the Hallel. It says, give praise. And the word Yahweh, so it's praise the Lord. When you are saying hallelujah, you are praising the Lord. Yes, yes, hallelujah. Psalm 113, verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord, Yahweh, the great I am. Hallelujah. Three in one. Yeah. Man. And you really see that hallel woven throughout all of this first part of chapter 19, and the Hallel is Psalms 113 through 118. Take time to read it. This is what the Jews were singing, and they recited them in the hymns on three different pilgrim festivals. But a proclamation. It's a proclamation. It's a joyous occasion, and let's look at the proclamation. Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor belong to the Lord our God. It is our God. He is our God. He is our God. Those in heaven have rejected Satan, the God of this world. Those who are here praising the name have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. And many, many in the past, even the apostles, they died a martyr's death because they counted themselves not worthy. Because he was worthy. They gave up their life. And there's going to be a lot more of that. Seal 5 is all about martyrdom of the saints, folks. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but through him. He is the veil, that which, the one that separates, but he is the veil. He's the access point. Glory and honor belong to him. He has all power and is deserving of such. Whatever the enemy throws our way, whatever the pain is of this world, it's a fleeting moment. It's temporary. It's temporary. And through Christ, we have access to all eternity. So much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. And why is there confidence? Because there's, in verse 2 of 19, it says, "They're true and righteous are his judgments. Because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. For he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." The harlot system that is going to, through martyrdom, extract blood from the saints. But our God is true and he is righteous. And there's no partiality with God. None. He is perfect and he is holy and he has given time for repentance. And then who's got the vengeance? "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. And all the prayers of the saints that had said, "How long? How long, O Lord, until you avenge us?" And he judges. He judges the harlot. He judges the system. That's our God. He's not a man that he should lie. He's going to make it good. Numbers 23:19. He is omnipotent. He is the true and righteous judge. He has all the facts of the court case. All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. There's no omission. There's no deception that can outwit him. Not even the greatest attorney.
Yeah.
The prosecutor. Who's the prosecutor? Satan. The accuser. The accuser of the brethren. He can't be outwit. By his power, these things come to pass in his perfect plan. God is judging the system that has seduced and tainted and corrupted the earth. All who have suffered unjustly due to the corruption of Satan in this system will be avenged. It is complete judgment and is affirmed by the next verse. Again, they said, "Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever." The judgment is permanent. It's not temporary. It's gone. Gone in a moment. In fact, in chapter 18, it says it's not anymore. It's actually used 7 times, the number of completion. It's this buildup, right? This buildup. This harlot system, those that partake. Chapter 14 says, if you take the mark, you're done. You're done. You're beyond even the blood of Jesus if you do that. The mark of the beast. That's heavy. Verse 4, 24 elders and 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Alleluia." Just like in chapter 7, the great multitude, there's 24 elders and 4 living creatures falling down, prostrating, worshiping God who's on the throne. He's not surprised or taken back by the events. He's completely sovereign. He's on the throne and he is in control and we can trust in him. As Katie said, is he on the throne of your heart? You trust him with all your heart, lean on your understanding, acknowledge him all your ways. He will direct your pathway. He will. It's a promise. It's a promise. And they say, "Amen. Let it be. Let it be." So let it be. Truly, truly. Amen. Truly, truly. It's an expression of absolute trust and confidence. Amen. Followed with a hallelujah. Because all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. If he says it, he's going to do it. And a voice comes from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, those who fear him, both small and great." This proclamation of elders and creatures worshiping God, sitting on the throne who comes from. This is likely an angel proclaiming a proclamation of praise to who? Our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Psalm 115, part of the Hallel, verse 13 says, "He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great." You are talking about reverential fear of the saints there, right? Reverential fear of the saints. who's in control of all things, who purchased you and I from the auction block of sin.
Yes.
Verse 6, the last part of it. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters. We were like a stream today. This is going to be like, whoosh.
Yeah. Wow.
Probably what the Egyptians heard as the waters came crashing down on them in the Red Sea. And as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. We see the response again for what is to come. This is powerful. The voice of the great multitude and the sound of many waters is deafening. The thundering shake you to the core. Praise the Lord. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. He's all powerful. The Almighty, He who was, He who is, and who is to come. He has always been, He will always be, for from Him are all things, and to Him are all things. He deserves the glory.
Amen.
That last hallelujah shines a light what is to come. Judgment has already been passed. Our God is going to establish His rule and His reign on the earth through His Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 97, verse 1 through 6 says, The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Cloud and darkness surround Him. Righteous and justice are the foundation of His throne. A fire goes before Him and burns up His enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Amen?
Amen.
He reigns, folks. He reigns. He reigns. Be thankful He reigns. Hallelujah. Listen, when we stop and we really focus our eyes on Jesus Christ, we can quickly be reminded of how thankful we must be. That heart of gratitude that we need. As Christians, we can look at the cross and remember all Christ did. That's still that the movie The Passion, those, you know, my son, when I'm tucking him to bed, we watch the video Above All. And it's tied in with scenes from the movie The Passion of Christ. And it gets my heart every time. Because I recall, and that's just a movie. That's not even like the reality of what happened. But I'm a visual learner. And all that He did that we could be saved from a life that was apart from our Creator. He provided the sacrifice which affords us everything that we did not deserve. But everything God wanted to give to you and I. So, as Christians, we know wholeheartedly that because He lives, we are His, and we are saved by grace through faith and have been rescued. Because He lives, we are His, and we never walk alone. Because He lives and we are His, we have an assurance of provision. Because He lives and we are His, we can experience joy in the midst of sorrow. Because He lives and we are His, we can trust the plan He has for our lives. Because He lives and we are His, we know He will work out everything for our good and His glory. Because He lives and we are His, we are promised a bright and a beautiful eternity. Because we are His and because He lives, we have everything because He gave everything. We give thanks to You, Father, for sending Your Son, Your one and only Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given us the Holy Spirit to redeem us. You are worthy of it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the mighty name of Jesus. Your word is so powerful. That from this day on, we would be walking in thankfulness for all that You have done for us and You are doing through us, in us, and for us to come. We praise your name. Give us opportunity to share our testimony this week at the dinner table amongst family, those who have been lost. Gratitude leads to a testimony of what you've done. Praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. You are dismissed.